We would love to hit a home run here, and we expect we will. We expect that there are multiple targets here. So we're going to go after that. That should be, we're hoping, crossing fingers, by the end of this month, we should be hearing that we can go.
Good morning again, Delaine Weeks, Anchor Resources. How are you?
I'm very well, Andy. Thanks for asking. And I'm joining you from Northern Alberta right now. And happy to talk to you about some energy prospects coming forward shortly.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about it. Just for the listeners and viewers, I am an investor on with Anchor Resources, as well as they are a sponsor to the channel. But I do find your oil and gas project very compelling. I'm interested in hearing all about it. Go ahead. Let's take it in general.
So just to jump in a little bit of a little bit of background, Anchor Resources went forward with an oil and gas license in Cambodia onshore. And we drilled, this will be the country's first onshore drilling for oil and gas. And one would say, why are we even there, and why hydrocarbons? Well, ultimately, it's because we need them. We can't live without them. And globally, they still provide 80% of the world's energy. So what we need to do is make sure that we go forward and we do it better. We do it cleaner, greener, capture emissions, and keep a really low footprint. And that's very doable. We can do that. At the same time, Asia gives us the majority of the world's increasing population. Think about that. India, China, Southeast Asia, these are growing in population, whereas the West tends to be, we are having less children. And so our population rates aren't growing as quickly. And then, of course, development means energy. You need all sorts of elements contribute to that. So here we have an area needs the energy and has a population that will support it. And so that part is a no-brainer. At the same time, Cambodia spends billions of dollars importing all of its energy from hydrocarbons right now. So we want to change that. You give a country its own source of energy, it changes everything. Yes, it would be a company changer, but it's also a country changer and boosts the entire GDP and the economy. So why did we choose? We're in the southwest corner of the country. Why did we choose Block 8? I'll show you some of the proof of that shortly. But there's oil and gas showings. There's great geology there. It resembles a foreland basin. So we're going to prove that out. Very close to port. And ultimately, it was our first choice of all the licenses. So if you see this, there's three. It's surrounded. Cambodia is surrounded. Here's Cambodia. There's my cursor here. And it's surrounded by oil and gas on all sides. So Cambodia itself, we could own this project 100%. Doesn't have to be any participation from the government. Is infrastructure in place? We can get around the country easily. As I said, we're surrounded by it. And Cambodia is an up-and-coming emerging market. Pretty healthy GDP, and it certainly is underexplored. And there's some reasonable incentives with the profit tax. So here's the exciting part.
Hey,
There's
Delaney,
actually
I asked some questions about all that real quick.
Sure.
Yes. So our last discussion, I just want to make this correct. You've been over there for about 10 years trying, really not trying, but getting this project off the ground. Is that correct?
We started looking at oil and gas in 2014.
Yeah.
We applied for a license in 2019, just prior to COVID. And that floated down, but we signed off on this in 2022 to say, yeah, we can advance when we get our funding in place.
Got it. And so my question is you guys, I just want to make sure I heard this correctly. And one of the reasons why this is really compelling, this is the only onshore, and I'm emphasizing this, oil production in Cambodia. Is that correct?
This will be. We're not producing yet, but yes, this time we are the only holder of an onshore oil and gas license. There were way prior to COVID, Jogmec had one, Petro Vietnam had one, and Mayco had one. But because they didn't move forward with them, the government revoked all those licenses, and now they too are available. So,
excellent. Okay, go ahead. Please, sorry for the interruption.
No. So Enercam is our energy subsidiary of Anchor Resources. Enercam has identified oil seeps like the one in the picture that you see there. But if you look at this license off to all these black dots are oil seeps that we have documented and tested, make sure that they're not oil out of somebody's tractor that blew up on the road, and they're at surface. Interesting.
My next question.
Yeah.
Wow. This is at surface, and this is
surface. So when we look at the Phitsanulok Basin in Thailand, they've had millions of barrels recovered, and they found them. They found this oil based on surface oil seeps. So it's very similar, and it's very close.
Okay.
So that is certainly one area that's a target. The second area that we target is a sedimentary foreland basin. It lines up generally parallel with the mountains, which we have here. And that's what kind of the Western Sedimentary Basin, which is massive. It's the second largest in the world, but it's got all the similarities of that. Now, until we drill, we can't prove anything, but so buyer beware, but we are convinced. We are absolutely convinced we're standing on Cambodia's own oil and gas resource.
That you have a license for.
Sorry?
That you have a license for.
And we have a license for it. And we're ready to roll here. So people have said, well, what if you get gas? No problem. Well, if we get gas, we convert it to power.
Yes.
But if it's oil, we're 70 kilometers from the port. We'll do it the same way that we've done in Canada and put in the containment so that there's no spills, no environmental concerns. And put it in big old tanks and then take it off and truck it to port.
So all of this, I'm completely interrupting you, but it's my excitement. For all of our viewers and listeners, I really cut my teeth a lot in the oil and gas market in the Midwest here in the US. I have never seen that. And I used to own, I want to say upwards to a dozen small oil pumps all over the Midwest, which is rich in oil. And also, to address your question, what if you get gas? Well, yeah, you will probably get gas, which is a fantastic opportunity in itself. So oil, when you have oil, correct me if I'm wrong, Clay or Delaine, you're going to get gas. So.
Absolutely, Andy, you are. It just depends what quantity we're in.
Yeah.
So when we test.
Healthy gas is inevitable, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, we tested the source rock. You know, there's hydrocarbons, and so it's in the oil window. But of course, with that comes gas. So if we can get economic quantities, and we put the infrastructure in place, and like I said, convert it. And now there's all sorts of technology that, you know, if you've got the MCS that are coming off that well, you can just set up a little turbine and convert it to power. So there's all sorts of things that can be done now that, you know, weren't done 40, 50 years ago. So.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. So what does that mean? And then what I'm trying to show a picture of, what can this mean to Cambodia? And I want to, ultimately, this is the picture of Alberta. So prior to 1950, we got nada. We got nothing. Okay. So then Leduc one hits. And what happens? I'll go back to 50s, 60s, 70s when $1 million was a whole bunch of money. Not quite so much today, but. And so when you start to talk billions back then, this is directly from Stats Canada. The GDP jumped 30.4 billion. And the number of jobs, 176,000. A lot of, so what would that do for Cambodia? You hit this, when we prove it, all sorts of employment opportunities. All sorts of training going on. Suddenly we got, and it's a young population there. Everybody's keen to learn, to get a career. And so it's, to me, it's like the perfect storm. Then move forward with pipelines. We got rails, we got truckers now, we got tanker trucks, we got all sorts of storage happening. And there's an additional 4,000 jobs, 0.1 billion added to the GDP. And then you get into the downstream. Suddenly we got refineries, got wholesalers and service stations, and but they're all domestically owned. Mm-hmm. Another 117,000 jobs. So this kind of thing is what changes a nation. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're really, really excited. Well, I'm getting a little long in the tooth here. It would be wonderful to leave a legacy to say, boy, did we make a difference.
Yeah.
Boy, did we make a difference. So,
yeah. It really is a life work for you guys. And that's what it's taken, getting the relationships. You've been there for going over 10 years now. That's what it's taken to get the relationships, to get the permitting and the license, and to get everything in place for you to put this in place.
For sure, Andy.
Yeah.
So the impact of, and we're told this in North America, so this would be kind of the U.S. story and our Canadian story. But when we drill a well, there's 120 service industries that are impacted. So it's profound. It's like that domino effect. Okay, you know, you make some money, then you're going to spend your money, and when you spend your money, others spend . And that's what we think we're bringing to the country. And we use that example from North America.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, in North America, in Canada, the other thing is that we've taken the best of the technology. So we have some production there. This is in Saskatchewan, where we've joined 30 wells and restarted them. And these were, let's say, poorly managed. So we took it, we partnered with it a couple of years ago. But the best thing is we captured all the gases. So off to the right is flaring. I mean, when you get gas in a tank, you've got to do something with it for safety reasons. You've
right.
got to vent it off or flare it off or connect it to a pipeline and take it elsewhere. So on the right is what typically happens if they don't have a pipeline set up. On the left is one of our stations, one of the wells. There's the tanks. There's two tanks there. And we collect, of course, water, oil, and gas. We truck the water off and re-inject it into the ground so it keeps the pressure up.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we've connected all of our 30 sites underground with pipelines so that we take that. We want very much, and that's me standing in front of a compressor and a couple of years ago, but we want very much to be able to reduce the emissions and take a really clean example to Cambodia. So it would then lead in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
It comes right out of the chute with not only production, but the best practices across the globe to make sure that it's environmentally sustainable and that they're getting cleaner fuel.
Excellent.
So that's sort of our goal here. So what are our next steps? Why aren't we on it right now? You'll see the license to the left, and it's outlined in the red. And all the colored areas, they are either parks, protected areas, or sanctuaries.
Okay.
So we want very much to set a great template, a great precedent in the country. We've looked at them. We don't need to be in those areas. So it's over 3,500 square kilometers to remove them. And we have asked the government to remove them from the government, to remove them from the license, because we won't explore there. There's no need to.
Right.
So that's what we're waiting on. Both the Ministry of Economic and Finance and the Ministry of Mines and Energy have to sign off on that. For them, it means a little bit less revenue, but it's hundreds of thousands, millions, because we don't have to pay rent then.
Got it.
But for us, it's a great move to set, like I said, set that precedent in the country and for environmental social governance.
Yeah.
Wherever we can, we need to make sure that we're doing this in the best manner we can. And to be honest, is the existing seismic, and I could flip back to that, but all the oil seeps, they're not in the parks.
Yeah.
They're all in this white area. Mm. So therefore, that's what we're targeting.
Yeah. And that promotes great goodwill to the local community there.
It should. And to NGOs and to, civil society. And it also gives the government a break, right? They don't have anybody on their case. What are these people doing in there? They're going to ruin our parks. So that's what we're waiting on. We're told. I'm hearing that Ministry of Mines and Energy has signed off. And so we're just waiting for MEF to do so and trying to be patient.
Excellent. Yeah.
So ultimately, our key factors, what we think successful oil and gas, we got government licensing, which is in place, the business climate, which we believe is in place. We think we have a great team, and we've got the capital in place to advance this. So with what we're doing in Canada and take those best practices, we would love to hit a home run here. And we expect that there are multiple targets here. So we're going to go after that. That should be, we're hoping, crossing fingers, by the end of this month, we should be hearing that we can go.
Excellent. Okay. So a few questions here. Again, I can't emphasize it enough. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. This is not investment advice, but I am an investor and will be more than likely picking up more shares. Again, not investment advice. Do your own due diligence and homework. Delaine, you mentioned you're hoping, fingers crossed, by the end of the month. Is that really the news, the big news that should be coming out, if you would? And again, just say what you can about that. And do you have, what should all prospective investors or investors also be aware of when we talk about this coming quarter?
That's going to be the big, that certainly is going to be the biggest milestone. Like you said, we've been at it for several years. So when we can, and that we have funding in place for it, because it doesn't have any oil and gas production, I mean, the big guns are, they won't come in, right? They're not going to come in until somebody else proves it. And ultimately, people are kind of, Cambodia, it doesn't produce any gas. Yeah, we know that. It doesn't produce any oil. Yeah, we know that. But we believe we're going to change that, and we're going to do so quickly. So, yeah, by all means, that would be our biggest announcement, and it should change the value considerably of Anchor Resources. I think there's a great opportunity. Anchor Resources is like 9-10 cents Canadian and between 6 and 7.5 US. So,
yeah. Well, I again, yes, you said a keyword there, value. Yes, I see it as a tremendous value. Again, not investment advice. And I'm putting my money where my mouth is. And then I'm looking really forward to the end of the month or soon thereafter. And I do think, and again, this is complete conjecture, I do think you'll hit a home run there.
Well, I hope so, Andy. And ultimately, I mean, we're advancing regardless, right? We'll get into some seismic as quickly as we can. I mean, we got to do the nods and the shake hands and the signing ceremonies and all that good stuff. But in the meantime, we've had our geoscientists working on this for, months and months and months.
Yeah.
Saying we're close, guys. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say congratulations too early, but it does look like a life work that's coming to fruition, if you would. Delaine, how can people find you online, and how can people buy your stock if they want to be an investor?
US, we are ANKOF on OTC. Canada, TSX Venture, we are ANK. Online, we are anchorresources.com. And you can see our break off of our various subsidiaries. We've got Enercam, like I said, for the energy. And then we've got Anchor Gold in Cambodia for mineral licenses. And of course, you can reach out to us. You can reach out to me anytime. My cell number's on there. And everybody says, oh, you shouldn't put your cell number out there. But the thing that drives us crazy, that you got to try to contact somebody and you don't have a number. So, I'm wide open to that, and don't hesitate.
If you're still with us, just a side note, Delaine's very responsive, always been very responsive to me. Interesting, though, often she's in Cambodia, so we've had to arrange calls and Zoom calls, whatever the time difference is there. So just so you know, if you do ring her, I don't want to speak for you, but you might be calling her at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and I probably won't answer then. I'll put it on then.
Yeah. All right. Delaine Weeks, I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm going to put everything in the show notes, and I'm very excited to go on this journey with you guys.
Thanks so much, Andy. Look forward to following up with you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, we'll have you on again in February, first or second week in February, as soon as all this stuff hits.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.